Thank all of you for being here. Looks like everybody is here this morning, and that's good that we're all healthy enough to be here. And we're thankful for Bill's, I guess you'd say, pretty good results, was it not, Bill? And we're so thankful for that. And we're just thankful that we all can be here and be healthy enough to come. And God's good to us. He's awful good to this congregation. Time. Somebody once wrote, "Be careful of your time, for it's the stuff eternity is made of." Now, while I do not agree with the theology of that statement, there is no time in eternity, there is validity to its implications. Think about our time. It's an absolutely priceless commodity. For once it is gone, it can never be bought back again at any price. Nor has anyone ever found a substitute for time. It is one of the factors of life over which we have no control. Yes, we can use time as the Lord gives it to us, but we are unable to turn back the calendar to relive a single day or an hour, or even a single second that has slipped into the past. None of us will ever have the time it took me to begin this lesson. I'd like for you to come with me to the book of Psalms, if you would please, specifically chapter 39. Psalms chapter 39. David wrote, beginning in verse 4, "Lord, make me to know thine mine end. I'm going to start over. "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, for what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age as is nothing before thee. Verily, every man in his best state is altogether vanity." Now, when David wrote, "Make me to know thine end," he wasn't talking about how he was going to die. What he was doing was pondering the uncertainty and the brevity of time. He was recognizing that all the joys and all the times and all the experiences of life could be quickly and finally snatched away just like that. He was doing what everybody needs to do from time to time. There's an interesting statement made by Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 1 through 4. I'd like to read that together. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Solomon wrote, beginning in verse 1, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for the sadness of countenance the heart is made better." Verse 4, "The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth." Oftentimes we find that the death of a loved one or a friend will cause people to do what Solomon was talking about, or what David was doing. They will seek to know the measure of their days in order to evaluate their time and how best to serve it. Brethren, how often do we say, "Boy, time flies, doesn't it?" Old folks used to tell me this. The older you get, the faster it goes. And you know what? Those old folks were right. The speed which time goes by is frightening if we think about it only from the perspective of this life. You know, I can vividly remember when the nurse brought my son David for me to see for the first time. and said to me, "You have a beautiful son." He's now 68 years old and a retired school teacher and a grandfather of two beautiful girls. Seemed like no time at all when they opened the door and said, "Mr. Shaw, you have a daughter." And now Patty is 67 years old and a faithful Christian and a member of Kenwood Church of Christ. Then came my son Glenn, who is 65 and now retired after being very successful in his job. He's now a grandfather of two beautiful children. Then came my baby daughter Julie, who was 56 when she died of cancer in 2016. She left three daughters and four grandchildren. Most of you may remember Julie. I do believe Julie was the happiest in all her life those last few months when she worshiped with us here at Prairie Village. My point, time flies. Brethren and friends, we look into the tender face of a baby, then return in what seems to be just a little while, and we find a rugged young man going aggressively into the world to assume his place, confident and unafraid. We look upon a young man in his prime condition, physical condition, competing on the athletic field. And we turn again to see an old man stooped beneath the burdens of years with a face etched by the pen of time and the legs can no longer carry him across the field or soaring into the air. If this world and the physical is all that there is, then inevitably disappointment awaits. We were in the book of Ecclesiastes a little bit ago. In that book, Solomon records his searching for the meaning of life. I wish you'd come with me to chapter 7 of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 2, excuse me. Come with me to chapter 2. And I'd like to read the first 11 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes 2, beginning in verse 1. I said in mine heart, "Go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this is also vanity." I said of laughter, "It is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it?" I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them and all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I have great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gather me also silver and gold, and a peculiar treasure of kings and of provinces. I get me men singers and women singers, and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Throughout the remainder of the book, this richest man on earth would use the phrase "under the sun" to mean the world, and over he would repeat, "All is vanity under the sun." His point was, this world and all the things in it are not where happiness is found, nor where fulfillment can be had. The pursuit of worldly things is not the best way to spend our precious time. Jesus pointed out the vanity of trusting in this world and its promises in the Sermon on the Mount. Remember what he said in Matthew the 6th chapter? Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Jesus says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal." And if you'll skip down to verse 33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." When it comes to measuring our days, brethren, we must never make the mistake of measuring the success or failure of our lives on a basis of what we have materially. Again, Jesus said, "A man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses." Time. You know what? Winter soon begins. That means fall is ended, and spring will be here with all the planting and the beauty. It'll be followed by summer, and then fall again, and then the harvest time. That's the way life is. There's a planting time and a reaping time. No matter how we spend our time, there are consequences, whether it be good or bad. Look with me at Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8, Paul wrote, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Hosea graphically described the principle of sowing and reaping and the tragic results of sowing wickedness in Hosea 8 and verse 7. He wrote, now listen to these words, "They sow the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." That's what Hosea said in Hosea 8 and verse 7. The choices we make today as to how we're going to spend our time, what we're going to do, put into motion the process that determines what we will reap tomorrow. Think about it. What do we most want to reap? The answer to that question will determine what we will spend our time sowing. What is more important to us? Is it the physical, the material, or the earthly? Or is it the spiritual and a harvest that is incorruptible, undefiled, and that will never fade away? In time, we will also reap what we sow. Knowing that, how will we spend our time? Well, John wrote in 1 John 2 and verse 15 through 17 the following, and I asked you to follow along. That's 1 John chapter 2. First John 2, verse 15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, and the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Brothers and sisters, because we cannot know the measure of our days, we need to be so careful in how we use what we have. Every minute of every day is precious. David wrote in another psalm, in Psalms 90 and verse 12, he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom." You know, I've talked to so many young people about becoming Christians, and old people too. Some right here in this congregation, and the answer has been something like, "I intend to, but not just yet." I'd like for you, all of you who are not Christians, to do something with me right now. Just privately and to yourselves, state the date when you intend to be baptized. Have you done that? Now state the date that you're going to die. If you don't know the second date, then I beseech you and I beg you to not to delay the first. Turn to Ephesians 5 with me. Paul wrote in Ephesians 5, verse 15 and 16, these words. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Now quickly turn to Romans chapter 13, if you would. In verse 11. Romans 13 and verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We never know, brethren. We never know from minute to minute. To put it another way, don't waste time. Do what you should do now. And Paul told us in Romans 15:4 that the things written aforetime were written for our learning. I want to see how the Hebrew writer warns us not to do the same things that the Israelites did in neglecting to hear God's warnings. Let's go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. And when you get to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, let's read verses 12 through 19. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. God has promised an eternal home with him to all who obey the gospel. But if we fail to do as God says, we forfeit that promise for ourselves. My friends and brethren, we need to redeem the time, using every moment to seek after the things of God. And as we begin to bring this lesson to a close, I'd like for you to come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you would. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. That's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Paul wrote in verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4, For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In this life, brethren, we walk by faith, but in heaven we shall walk by sight. We shall then see the things that are now invisible. What is our goal in life? Where are we looking for fulfillment? Abraham gives us a good example. We're told that he looked for a city which has a foundation whose builder and maker is God. Evidently, Abraham instilled the same goal in his sons, Isaac and Jacob, because we are told that he desired a better country that is in heavenly. It ought to be our goal for every one of us. Because Jesus Christ died for us, we can have salvation. Because he rose from the dead, we can be assured that we will rise too. And because he ascended into heaven to prepare a place for us, we can rest assured that he will return to take his people home to heaven with him. So brethren and friends and brothers and sisters, we should all live with the realization that at any time we could leave this world, our next appointment will be judgment. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I know we all set our goals. We live our lives, use our time, so that we can say with Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." This is the time God gives us, and we need to learn to measure our days. When the house catches on fire, it's too late to get insurance. When the operation begins, it's too late to go on a diet. When the heart attack comes, it's too late to prevent it by proper diet and exercise. And when our life is ended, it's too late to study the Bible, to find out what the Lord wants us to do, then do it. This is the only time we have, so please use it. One last passage, if you would, come with me to the book of Job. Book of Job, we don't go there too often. Chapter 9. Book of Job, chapter 9, verse 25 and 26. Job, chapter 9, 25 and 26. Job says, "Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They pass by like swift ships, like an eagle swooping on its prey." That's what time is like. Time quickly changes the world we know. Our bodies age, our family grows older and leaves, our friends die, our things decay. It is as Theodore Brennan describes in his poem, "Those Wasted Years." And I want to read that poem to you, called "Those Wasted Years." I looked upon a farm one day that once I used to own. The barn had fallen to the ground. The fields were overgrown. The house in which my children grew, where we lived for years, I turned to see it broken down and brushed aside the tears. I looked upon my soul one day to find it too had grown with thorns and nettles everywhere the seeds neglect had sown. The years had passed while I cared for things of lesser worth. The things of heaven I let go, minding the things of earth. To Christ I turned with bitter tears and cried, "O Lord, forgive. I haven't much time left for thee, not many years to live. The wasted years gone forever, the days I can't recall. If I could live those days again, I'd make him Lord of all." As sobering as it is to see time fly by, the most sobering realities of life will be not seen in this world. Time is quickly turning the pages of life for a reason. Each day pushes us one day closer to the day when time must end, when we will give an account for the use of our time. Are you prepared for that day? Have you met the purpose of time by being found in Christ? You enter Him by obeying the gospel. You remain in Him. You remain in Him by maintaining your faith. And let me tell you, if you're living any other way, you're wasting what little time you have left in this fleeting journey. If you're not in Christ, you can become a Christian right now. And you do that by coming forward, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're an unfaithful Christian, you can take care of that this morning by, after repenting to God, come forward, let us pray with you and pray for you. And you too will be right in the eyes of God. If we can help anyone make their life right with God, would you please come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.